My name is Clarissa MacDonald and I work at the Victorian Arts Centre as part of the Visual Arts Department staff.
Welcome to the Space Show, Clarissa. What prompted the idea of having an exhibition of astronomical photographs at the Arts Centre?
This project is the result of a collaboration between the Anglo-Australian Observatory and the British Council, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary in Australia in 1997. The Anglo-Australian Observatory is jointly funded by Australia and Britain and was established in Australia to give astronomers access to the magnificent night skies of the Southern Hemisphere. Your listeners and yourself may know that it's a world leader in scientific research and astronomical instrumentation, and it also has a reputation for scientific excellence, which these photographs are certainly proof of. The high profile of the observatory is the result of over two decades of successful collaboration between Australia and Britain. The New Images program has been something that our gallery has been involved in with several other projects. This is one aspect of it. We've also had Royal Shakespeare Company posters being exhibited, and also another exhibition called Making Space for Theatre, which was on for several months here, which was all about British theatre architecture. So this is a result of working with the British Council and also the collaboration between the Observatory and the British Council as well, and we're the fortunate recipients of all that work. Yeah.
Why David Malan's pictures in particular?
These pictures were raised as part of that New Images series. There's a simultaneous exhibition in England at the moment and these pictures will be touring Australia. I suppose we chose the pictures because of the challenge of the scientific overlapping with the artistic and the aesthetic qualities, which is really interesting. You don't often expect to see scientific images in a gallery at all, and we were quite interested in presenting that exhibition. So there's been a bit of a controversy about, you know, the topic of whether or not it's art, you know, the sort of dealing with photography as well. So, you know, we like to be diverse in all of our exhibitions and that's one of the reasons why this was chosen for us.
Is it an accident that these pictures convey both the scientific ideas as well as these aesthetic ideas?
I think it is a happy accident for everybody, really. I think that the scientists looking at pictures in terms of colour and form and composition, and there's quite a parallel between that and also art criticism, where art critics examine pictures in terms of, you know, their relative beauty, what colours are used, all that sort of thing. So it's certainly is no accident that the universe is like it is, I guess, although people may disagree with me, and just the beauty of these is manifest in all of the pictures. So
who chose the pictures?
They were chosen by a group of people, people from the British Council and also the curator, Eileen Slark, who's a lady who works in Canberra. David Malan certainly had some input into the final images that were selected, and in fact he insisted that several were included for their scientific properties, which may not have been chosen by the art curators for their aesthetic properties, which the if patrons come and see the exhibition, they're the black and white images and not the coloured ones.
I know when people see television pictures and so on, they often wonder whether they are real photographs or whether they are just computer-generated images or artist's impressions. These are actual photographs, aren't they?
These are actual photographs. The dichotomy comes with the fact that, as you may know, the human eye can't pick up a lot of colour at night because there's not enough light available to detect colour. So while you're looking at the night sky, you might only see a bit of red in Mars, for example. But with these pictures, because they're so far away, we would have no hope with the naked eye of detecting any of these colours. But the photographic plates, which are infinitely more sensitive than our own eyes, can pick up all sorts of colours and details. So while they are a translation of things that we can't actually see with the naked eye, they are certainly real photographs, if you like, if we could ever possibly be close enough to any of the things shown in this exhibition, you know, any of the wonderful nebulae or things like that, then we would certainly see those colours, yes.
So these things are actually out there. They're not just simply figments of an artist's imagination.
No, they're very real, very distant images, you know, many millions of light years away, but they're actually there, and it's quite incredible, and it is a testament to the collaboration of Australian and British scientists that we can see them.
What overall story do these images tell?
Right, the exhibition starts when you walk in the door with looking at sort of local things, possibly the birth of a star. It examines a few nebulae where stars form, the Orion and the Trifid Nebula as well, and then it moves around looking at the various things that, you know, goes on with the star's development after they've perhaps exploded, there's been a supernova, there's sort of the colours and the ionisations that happen with that, then there's actually quite a good series of images of the supernova, supernova 1987A, which David Mellon was lucky enough to have before and after images of. So that's an interesting one to see. And then as you move towards the end of the exhibition, you have the Vela supernova remnant, just sort of dust and matter that's left over after the stars exploded.
Do you have to be an astronomer to appreciate these photographs?
You certainly don't have to be an astronomer at all. And in fact, most people who've come through and really enjoyed the pictures and got a lot out of them are people who've had nothing to do or never looked up at the night sky. And they've been really, really blown away by what they've seen. Yeah.
I noticed the gallery captions link the photographs to well-known works of art, such as those by Paul Gauguin or James Gleeson or Vincent van Gogh or Rembrandt. Why did you do this?
It was done by the curator of the exhibition merely to draw parallels as to why they're actually in a gallery. So you're looking at these quite incredible images and thinking, where did these come from? And it's just a sort of a fixed point, if you like, for our own humanity, that these images can be seen in other things, in, you know, great masters of art, that these colours and you know, sort of forms have already possibly been represented, and are we picking that up from, you know, some sort of subconscious thing about the night sky? Who knows, you know.
So you're setting it in the wider cultural sense?
In a wider cultural sense, yes, definitely. But people can still get out of it what they will. A lot of people have, you know, preferred to make their own interpretations of what they've seen. They've seen sort of, you know, human eyes or limbs or, you know, sort of strange shapes. A lot of really abstract things have come out of it. It's been really interesting talking to people about what they interpret the pictures as, apart from their scientific qualities.
So that sort of leads us into what's been the reaction of the gallery visitors to the exhibition overall.
Oh, they've loved it, I think. As you said before, if you're not an astronomer, that's fine. You know, you can come in and just appreciate the beauty and the, you know, majestic wonder, the absolutely stupendous size and diversity in the universe. I've really enjoyed working in this particular exhibition. And if you are scientifically minded, as people who listen to your show may be, then I'm sure they'll get a lot out of it as well. They can probably pick out what gases there are, which I don't really know much about. So, yeah.
Yes, also the incredible detail that's in these pictures, the detail that you don't see in reproductions on TV or on magazine photographs even, incredible detail there.
Definitely the larger format is extremely helpful in picking out detail, and that's one of the reasons why they're actually done in large format, because that assists scientists immensely in picking out structures of things that they might not have had access to before.
How big are these photographs?
Ooh, they vary. You've put me on the spot here. They're probably about 100 by 150. Some of them are bigger. There's like large wall panels, you know, which are the size of a few doors put together, particularly the Star Trails one. That's a lovely image. And also the globular cluster of Tucani. That's a nice one as well. So, you know, the images vary in size, and you can see how the bigger ones really help bring out more and more detail, you know.
So we're not looking at magazine size reproductions, are we?
You're not. You're definitely not. But there are opportunities to buy postcards and things like that, which are smaller sizes. But you can see how the smaller size doesn't really bring it out, the complete colour, you know, the full sort of experience, if you like.
And what's your favourite photograph and why?
Oh, I've been tossing this up and I can't decide. I'm thinking I like the Pleiades cluster, because it's a really pretty blue and it's a nice sort of little composition. But then I'm thinking the supernova 1987A, the actual light echo after it's exploded, there's a series of rings. It's like a pebble dropped in a pond, and you can see the light energy, if you like, sort of rushing out through space, and that's quite amazing. But, yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. I haven't decided yet. I will get one of them, though.
Okay, you can actually buy the photographs then?
You can buy the photographs.
These actual ones or copies of them?
They're copies of these, and they come in sort of various sizes. They range from $55 to $200, but there's also posters available and postcards and the catalogue as well, which is wonderful and was put together by the British Council and the original curator of the exhibition.
Isn't that a catalogue? It's a beautiful book in its own right, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's got, you know, a lot of the images in it, and also essays by David Mellon and others about his work, and also the Anglo-Australian Observatory. If nobody's ever been there, it's a bit of, you know, interest for people who possibly might have driven past it. You know, it's up in Coonabarabran. A lot of people go up to Queensland that way, so, yeah.
And for those of us less financially well endowed, you do have posters. In fact, we're standing amongst a number of them here now, aren't we?
Yes, we've got posters, the postcard book and the postcards as well. So, you know, there's a nice little range of things for people who are liking his images, yeah.
When can people see this exhibition?
It's on until the 11th of May. The Westpac Gallery hours are 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. in the evening, and on Sundays it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So there's certainly a lot of opportunities to come in, and you know, generally patrons come in before they go and see a show.
Any charge to come in?
No, the Westpac Galleries are certainly free, all of them, and we do have other programs on at the moment as well, the Fred Jenis Prince exhibition and also a Porgy and Bess exhibition, so there's a lot of things to see when you come in.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us on the Space Show, Clarissa.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me.